Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Some of the key words in the epistle of Hebrews is one of them is better. Christ is better than the prophets, better than the angels, better than Moses, better than Aaron. He is a mediator of a better testament. He's better. another word that is prominent in this book is this man. After this man has offered one sacrifice for sin, he sat down on the right hand of God. But let's look this morning in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. And from verses 4 to verse 7, he begins to talk about the superiority of Christ to angels. And he says, being made so much better than the angels. Well, as God, he's the creator of angels. So he's certainly better than angels in that regard. But he is made better than the angels. Look at Acts 2:36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now it had always been the Lord and Christ. But he was declared to be so, Romans 1:4. He is declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness when God raised him from the dead. So he is declared to be, he is made to be, when he is declared to be the Son of God. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, as man and mediator. As a man seated in glory, with all dominion, all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Look at John 3:35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things in his hand. Look at John 13. I think it's 13:3. It's 13:1, I believe. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, and supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, go into the world and preach the gospel. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. to whomsoever the Holy Spirit is teacher, the great teacher of the everlasting covenant. Amen. For no man can say from his heart in sincerity and truth from his heart that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach all of the children of promise, the children of the everlasting covenant of grace, who have been in Christ from all eternity, chosen in Him as members in particular. It is the purpose and ministry of the Holy Spirit to find them in time and to teach them of their inheritance as heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What that's called is faith. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
That is the secret that's been hidden in God from everlasting and will be revealed who those children are as time unfolds and as the Son of God unfolds the pages of the book. So our Lord Jesus Christ is declared to be. Look at Psalm 2. We'll be looking at this again. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure." Yet, this is what He'll say. "Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." Being so much better than the angels, being made so much better than the angels, and in the in some of the versions, the Ethiopic version and the one of the others, it's just simply stated, being so much better than the angels, as He is in His person. Being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Well, an inheritance belongs to a son or a daughter. And He is, His name is the Son of God. And all things are His by inheritance. But the thing that may be more particularly looked at here is that He is appointed the heir of all things. Mm-hmm. Now, His appointment as heir of all things is as He is man and mediator. For as God, He can't be appointed anything. He made all things. All things belong to Him. He is the Creator. As man and mediator, this man, Christ Jesus, is appointed heir of all things. And in that He is the heir by appointment, He is a son, or the Son. Yeah. And so all and so better than the angels. Being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? For we just read in Psalm 2:7. And it's obvious that to none of the angels did he ever say anything like that. It was only to his son, who is of a common essence and nature with the Father. So he is inheritor by appointment, and he is an owner in that he is God. He's the Son of God. And he is the natural Son of God of the same nature, power, and essence of the Father. Unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. That comes from 2 Samuel 7:14, which is the, if you want to turn there, which is one of the first places where mention is made, where the everlasting covenant begins to be unfolded. It's mentioned before. It's mentioned back in the book of Genesis. But here in 2 Samuel 7:14. I seem to be having trouble getting there this morning. 2 Samuel 7:14. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men, but my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I took away from before thee. Now, of course, this is looking naturally at Solomon, but it's looking spiritually at the Lord Jesus Christ, unfolding of this scripture is in Solomon, but the eternal unfolding of it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's many things in this promise, in the promise of the everlasting covenant, no matter where you look at it, whether it's here or in the Psalm or in Psalm 89 or wherever you look at it, there's many things that pertain to David, Solomon, and Christ in common. But there are many things in it that pertain to Christ that can never pertain to David and Solomon, as his kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. Yeah, right. His dominion shall be forever and ever. As the day of the sun and of the moon, it'll be upheld forevermore. So there's, and in all these promises, it is made to Solomon, in particular, Solomon and David, but it is the principal outlook is to the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. So, look at, turn to Psalm 89. Verse 19. And we'll not read through this whole thing, through all of this. But down through verse 37, there is a look here to both David and Solomon. Let me just read the first three verses. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Well, he did swear to David, his servant, in Psalm 32:11, that of the fruit of thy body, that fruit of David's body, that he would raise up Christ to sit up on the throne of David. He made him that promise, but that promise was typical of his promise to Christ. That of his seed, he was made, one would be made to sit upon the throne of David forever and ever, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold your place there in Psalm 89 and look at Psalm 132:11. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. And then back in Psalm 89:3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. Well, David was chosen of the Lord, sure enough. Absolutely. When all of the sons of Jesse were brought in before him, and he said, well, the one that the Lord's chosen is not here. Don't you have any more sons? I'm going to paraphrase here. He said, yeah, there's one lad out taking care of the sheep. He said, well, bring him in. So when David came before him, Samuel rose and anointed him the Lord's chosen. But also, in Isaiah 42:1, he said, behold, my chosen, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the elect of God. All of the children of the covenant are chosen in Christ Jesus as members in his federal headship, or as members in his mystical spiritual body. I have made a covenant with my chosen. Now God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit made a covenant with the man Christ Jesus. Or made a covenant toward or concerning. Well, they made a covenant with Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world concerning his members.
Yeah.
That all of his children, his members, his brethren, should be brought to glory based solely and grounded upon his blood and righteousness as their only right to the inheritance of the children of God. And we do have a right. You have a right to that inheritance. And it is because of your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As brethren. He's bringing many brethren to glory. Look at verse 4 in Psalm 89. Thy seed will I establish forever. Christ's seed. It's his people. They were all in him in everything that he did, as Adam's seed was in him when he sinned. So many were made sinners. But as all of Christ's seed was in him when he established righteous, they are made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Hold your place there again in Psalm 89. Turn to Romans 5. 5:17. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace. Well, when was grace given you? According to 2 Timothy 1:9, it was given to His people before the foundation of the world. Yeah. They who receive abundance. When did God grace you? It was before the foundation of the world. He included you in the covenant of grace. He gave you all things in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Amen. He's graced us in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:9, you can read that. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. How'd you become righteous? It was by free gift. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We haven't earned it. God didn't foresee that we would have it and therefore elect us to it. He simply gave it to us in Christ Jesus virtually before the foundation of the world, in covenant before the foundation of the world, and it was established for us in actual fact at the cross. We were justified by His righteousness in the covenant of grace. God hath saved us. Psalm 89:4. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. Now, His throne speaks of His eternal dominion. God will add to the church daily such as should be saved. That is His building up His throne. The heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also of the congregation of the saints. Now let's skip down to verse 19. Thou spakest in vision to one to thy Holy One, and saith, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. That's His two natures. In His humanity, God upheld Him. In His Godhead, He's the mighty one of Jacob, the Holy One of Israel. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, and mine arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. And I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Now, we should realize, and I'm sure that you do realize, that all of these things are said to the Lord Jesus Christ with all His seed in Him. So that every promise that is made here to the Lord Jesus Christ is made to all His seed. All His people, all His children, all the children of the covenant and the children of promise. You run into to these folks that you'll meet on the street and say, "How you doing?" "Well, I'm blessed." The children of God are truly, truly blessed. God has given them all things that pertain to life and godliness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have inherited all things in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fact is, we got nothing to worry about.
Amen.
Just got nothing to worry about. We're going to be here a little while longer. We're going to shed a few tears. We're going to see some trouble. We're going to have some afflictions. But this life soon be over. This is not our rest. This gospel is the rest whereby ye shall cause the weary to rest. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Now his throne includes everything that is subject to his throne. All his kingdom, all his children, all his people. Now look at verse 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, well then I'm just going to cast them into hell. Is that what it says?
No.
It says, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod, and their iniquity was stripped. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. If he took his loving kindness from any of the members of Christ, he'd be taking it from Christ. Because they're his members, his seed. The same promises pertain to them as to him. Nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. So, in all of these things, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he is man and mediator, is far greater than angels. Now, the Jews put a great deal of confidence and stock in angels because they were instrumental in giving of the law. And they put a lot of stock in the law because it was given by the administration of angels, by the dispensation of angels. Look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Verse 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels. When Stephen was preaching to that group of Pharisees just before they stoned him. So the Israelites, their fathers, had received the law by the disposition of angels. Look at Galatians 3:19. Galatians 3:19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression until the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. So the law was ordained by angels. They were instrumental in the giving of the law. Look at the Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, wherefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, it's referring to the law. So, in all of those things, the Hebrews revered the angels because of the law, and the law because of the angels. But Christ is better. The covenant of which he is mediator is much better than the law, because it gives life where the law can only bring death, and because it's in the hand of him as the mediator, not in the hand of a mere man. And it's given by somebody who's far better than the angel. It's spoken by the Son. God has spoken to us in his Son, and it's not spoken to us by mere men to whom God had revealed something and then left it in their hands to reveal to others, as the Old Testament prophets. For unto which of the angels? Now I'm going back to Hebrews chapter 1. For unto which of the angels said at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, as he said to his own son in Psalm 2:7. He never said that to angels. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, in 2 Samuel 7:14. Never said that to any angel. Now they're called the sons of God in the book of Job, Job 1:6. But they're sons by creation. This is the natural son of God, of the same essence and essential properties of the Father. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, let the angels of God worship him. Now that proves that he's better than angels. If the angels are to worship him, then what is to be worshipped but God? And the greater is worshipped by the lesser. So the angels of God are to worship him. Now, there are some, and again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, there's some question in commentators' mind as to whether what he's referring to here, whether he's referring to his incarnation, whether he's referring to his resurrection, or whether he's referring to the second advent. I think my own personal opinion is that he is referring to his incarnation, because he was announced by angels, and the angels adored him, and all those things. But that's not the end of it, because the angels will worship him. And I think it's in Revelation 5. Seems to me it's Revelation 5:13. Let's turn there and see. Look at 5:11. And I beheld, Revelation 5:11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and of the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Let the angels of God worship Him. And then look at Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, each having six wings. With twain they covered their face, and with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. That's the angels worshiping Him. Now look at John 12:41. John 12:41. These things said Isaiah when he saw His glory and spake of Him. Who did Isaiah see? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. Temple's His body, the church. And the train is His graces. Of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. He's the head of all things to the church. The fullness of Him that filleth all things. And again, when He bringeth the first begotten into the world, He saith, and that the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. Now the angels are created spirits. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And He created. He is the creator of the angels. Look at Colossians chapter 1. And we begin reading at verse 16. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven. So that'd get the angels, wouldn't it? That are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. You know, there's a thought there that keeps being in my mind. Look at Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Exodus 33. And let's begin reading at verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, this is Moses speaking back unto the Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and the people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, and this is God speaking to Noah, or to Moses. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. His goodness. I make all my goodness. Show me your glory. What's your glory? I'll show you my goodness. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. To proclaim the name of the Lord is to proclaim God himself. In the Old Testament, a name was a declaration of what the person is, of his attributes, of his character. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. Now turn to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in the work of faith with power. Now, the good pleasure of his goodness is toward his people whom he foreknew in Christ and created in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of this world. And Christ is the image of the invisible God. And all of those who are created in Christ Jesus are brought forth in that image of the mediator. A body. Human body, thou hast prepared me. Let us make man in our likeness and in our image. So it was the good pleasure of his goodness to comfort his people in Christ, to make them happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's been his purpose in showing forth his glory from everlasting. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Say to Jerusalem that her iniquity is forgiven and her judgment is past. That's Isaiah 40. Let me turn over and I'll read that and close. Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Well, we've always been his people.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus will have his spouse comforted while she passes through this wilderness of sin.
Yeah.
Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, crying to her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Not guilty. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And our Lord Jesus Christ, much, much better than the angels. Now there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No angels, no saints, not Mary. Just the one mediator. We have one great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all have access to the throne of God by Him. I am the way, our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen.